Hey again, really good to be with you again, and good to be back with you again. Alan slipped away for a little bit in the month of July. Now, some of you don't know that because you slipped away in the month of April, and this is your first Sunday back, and this is our first Sunday back, but we've been gone actually less somehow. And so, but really glad you're here, and really, really good to be with you. Really excited about this series that we're jumping into in the month of August. We'll talk about that in just a second. Just before we do, one other thing, I just want to make an invite to you to an event that we're hosting tomorrow night and next Monday night called Aligned. So the next two Monday nights, same content both times, just two different options. So hopefully you're in town or around in one of the next 2 weeks and can make one of these. And really, here's really very simply the goal of Aligned is we're going to spend a little bit of time together really just trying to stay aligned as one group, as one family, as one body heading into fall. And so we'll talk a little bit about a handful of things as fall approaches, things like Middleville and what does that mean and where are we both and kind of launching Mobily, which we talked about last week, and then also where are we with things like insurance post-fire? We're over a year into this process now. What do finances look like heading into that thing? What does just journey finances look like? We'll talk a little bit about some ministry things heading into fall and kind of how we live this thing together. So it's really just, that's the whole aim, is just to say, look, how do we stay aligned in this season? Summer, people seem to scatter all over the map, and you kind of know what I know, right? Fall comes, and we all settle back in, but we all settle back in at like 120 miles per hour, right? And so then it's like, okay, how do we actually just stay together as we follow Jesus together and live into this thing? So I hope one of those two Monday nights you'll be able to come. We'll be less than 90 minutes, and then we'll just let you go. So we're not going to be here for hours or anything like that. We'll be under 90 minutes and then give you the rest of your night back. And one of the beauties of West Michigan summer is 90 minutes after that starts, it will still be sunny out. So it's one of the best parts. Yes, that's one of the things I'm grieving, right? The sun's starting to set a little bit early. I'm grieving that thing just a little. There's all sorts of grief in this season in my life in this season. One is summer's my favorite season. I talk about it all the time. I hate fall, not so much because I hate the elements of fall, but because I hate that winter is coming. I just, it's like it's this despisal of this thing. So I already start grieving the end of summer, which is terrible. I'm trying to soak it up. My girls are going into high school this year, and that's got all sorts of other layers and everything else. And listen, for those of you who've been down that road, I don't want your advice. I don't want it. I want your pity and your compassion. I don't want your advice, okay? Hug me, don't talk. No, don't. I'm just... But it's like a whole new season. They're doing driver's training and getting texts about people running red lights. I'm like, oh, what is the world coming to? So I'm just glad to be back on Sunday where I'm with you and we're all kind of together in this thing and trying to figure it out and live life following Jesus together. One of the things that we've kind of fallen into this time of year, and it's gradually become a little more strategic, but honestly, several years ago, we literally just kind of found ourselves falling in to the month of August, us just recentering ourselves and talking and growing together a little bit around this not idea, but this experience of prayer and how we engage with the person of Jesus, how we hold conversation and talk and how we listen. And so really the last several years in the month of August, we've done this and sometimes it's spilled over into September as well. And I've started to get to this point where I really look forward to August and what Jesus is inviting us into and how he's growing and shaping the conversation. Because here's what I know. We've all been following Jesus different lengths of time, and some of you are here today and you're not following Jesus. You're asking questions and you're wondering and you're maybe exploring, and that's great. I love those questions. I'm so glad you're here asking them. Some of you are here and you're not even asking questions. You're really pushing Jesus away. You're just here because a parent or a spouse or you're trying to date this girl and this is where she comes or whatever. And honestly, all those are fine reasons too. Whatever, that's great. But we get to this idea of prayer, and it doesn't really matter how long we've been following Jesus. We can find ourselves at times saying, man, I wonder if there's more to it. Like, I wonder if there are some more depths to plummet. I wonder if I could do it with even more confidence. Like, I wonder if I could pray with even more confidence, with more certainty. Or I hear people talking about talking to Jesus and praying bold things and being bold and is that actually possible? Like, what is that actually? I guess that's just not me, or that's not just really for me. What does that really mean? And over the course of the next few weeks, I hope a couple of things happen. One, I hope that today we're actually just able to learn some things together that would shape that. We're literally just going to do a little bit of teaching today around something that really foundationally might shape some of our confidence in how we pray and engage with Jesus. Next week, I think Jesus just wants to inspire us like crazy. If you want some kindling in your life to inspire something of hope, you just make sure you're here next week. I'll give you one more week after that. I think Jesus, in this element of prayer, there's a specific element of prayer in which I think he's excited to just show us as a church a deeper, more full expression of his gospel than most of us have ever seen through an element of prayer. And so I can't wait for that. And then we're going to just have a lot of fun with the series, and we're going to grow together and just talk about this thing of, man, pray it like you mean it. You ever had those people in your life where they're saying something and you're having to like read between the lines and guess at what it is they mean? Any of y'all got those people? Raise your hand if you got those people. Raise your hand. Put them up high if you got those people. Raise your hand if somebody in your family is the complete opposite. You never have to guess. In fact, you wish you had to guess sometimes, right? You got some of those, right? It's just like no filter. There's no barrier. There's no, right? Diplomacy is a foreign concept, right? It's just all systems go all the time, right? Well, what if when it comes to this reality, again, not this idea, but this literal experience of praying, of having conversation with Jesus, a two-way conversation. What if we could just pray it like we mean it? What if we could just have enough of a relationship with Jesus and have enough understanding of this reality of prayer he invites us into that we could just pray it like we mean it? That we could get past some of the nervousness and some of the awkwardness and some of the fear, and we could just push through and say, man, this is a free-flowing conversation that comes now with some courage and some confidence and some certainty. I mean, how great would that be, right? How great would that be? But there really is a beginning point. I'm convinced there's a singular beginning point to this that opens the door to everything else, that really is the on-ramp to those confident, bold, more at ease, even in awe prayers. And when we find it, not shockingly, in the teachings of Jesus talking to his followers, and he talks to them several times about this experience of prayer and teaches them how to do it, and they ask him questions. They ask him, Jesus, please teach us to pray like you do. When you pray, it's just different, and we want to pray like that. And the beauty of it is Jesus doesn't say, well, don't bother, you can't pray like that. He's like, oh, no, you actually should pray like this. You can pray with the same power, the same confidence, the same assurance I have. How great is just that in and of itself? That the assumption of Jesus is that you and I can pray just like he prayed. Listen, let me just play it back for you because some of you need to get this and then just go home, okay? Listen. You can pray in the same ways, with the same effectiveness, with the same confidence, in the same surrender, with the same authority as Jesus. That's how he played it out. Right? I mean, if you struggle with it, it's not me. Take it up with him. Right? That alone, right? But how does that play? Well, Jesus talks about it a little bit. We're going to look at a couple passages real quickly here. John chapter 14, Jesus talking to some of his followers, again, talking about many things, including prayer. He says this to them, I'll do whatever you ask in my name. That's a tricky thing because we like that idea, right? I'll do whatever you ask in my name. Anybody wish they had one of those people in their life, right? Just do whatever I ask all the time, right? Well, Jesus seems like he's setting that up a little bit so that the Father in heaven might be glorified through me, his Son. Jesus has given us this reminder that, hey, everything we're doing is really about my glory. It's really about my fame. It's really about my kingdom. It's really about my heaven on the earth, right? It's really about that. You may ask me for anything in my name. There's those three words again. So he kind of bookends this little paragraph. You may ask me for anything. Just read the next three words with me. Here we go. Read them out loud. What? In my name. Oh, and then I'll do that. You ask in my name and I'll do that. Well, that's like the magic formula, right? That's like three quarters in the vending machine, ice cold Coke coming out, right? I mean, this is it. This is the magic potion we've been looking for. And it's not even like that's like a one-time mistake and Jesus really didn't mean it. And look, I've tried that. It doesn't really work, okay? Look, Jesus says it again in John chapter 16. Let's just jump ahead. It's actually part of the same extended conversation. Jesus, in that day, when actually there's a lot of trouble and you're looking for some comfort and you're wondering where I'm going and what's coming, he says this, in that day, you don't have to ask me for anything. Because very truly, I'm going to tell you that my Father will give you whatever you ask. There are those words again. In my name. In my name. Just like, hey, just pray it in my name. So we do it, right? We do it. It doesn't really matter. I mean, maybe you're following Jesus. Maybe you're not. How many of us have prayed something, right? I mean, most studies show that some of us are still praying to something, some idea of something bigger than us. And how many times have we finished the prayer with, in Jesus' name I pray? Right? In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if we're like super deep and super spiritual, we change it up a little bit. In your precious name I pray. In your holy name I pray. Right? I mean, we're variety, spice of life. We change that up a little bit, right? In your magnificent holy name, right? I mean, and sometimes we'll shout it, we'll yell it, we'll scream it, we'll whisper it like it's just too holy in Jesus' name. Right? I mean, we say it, right? We've got it. Okay, so let me ask. How many of you feel like you've been given everything you've ever prayed when you finished your prayer that way? Doesn't it feel like there's a gap? I mean, come on, we're in church, but could we just admit it for acknowledge that what Jesus says doesn't seem to line up with the facts of your life and my life? Right? Don't sit there and look all pious and act like you're holier than thou. You're wondering too, right? I mean, what is Jesus really meaning? What he's getting at? Well, let's just pull back for one second and let's learn together. When Jesus used a phrase like in my name, and when somebody would have heard that in the first century when Jesus was speaking, what was he really getting after? What did it even really mean? Is it a tagline? Is it a slogan? Is it a catchphrase? Is it a wrap-up phrase? Is it like the bow on the gift phrase? What is Jesus really getting at? There's a couple of things that when Jesus' first hearers would have heard it, just would have been the most natural understanding for them. First one is simply this, that the name is the person. So when Jesus says, when you pray in my name, you're praying kind of in line with my person. You're acknowledging the person of me, the whole person, like all of me, not part of me. You're acknowledging me as the whole person. Which again is even still, you know, like, how do we get a handle on that? I mean, if you say, well, you're John, like I'm John, but my whole person is John. It's not like I'm just a dad or just a husband or just a pastor or just a friend or right. There's this wholeness. And so when the disciples would have heard pray in my name, they would have fully understood. Oh man, we're praying kind of in line with the whole person of Jesus. It's like when I say to Erica that I love you, what I'm really saying is that I love the whole person of her, the whole of her. Jesus says, when you pray in my name, you're praying kind of centered and just anchored and settled in the whole of who I am. You're not just throwing around a tagline. It's not a tagline we use. It's the person we're connecting with. Jesus says, when you pray in my name, what you're reminding yourself early is that you're connected with me, the person of me. Not an idea of me, not an event of me, but the person of me. It's also everything we understand or know about the person. When Jesus says, you pray in my name, what he's really getting at is what you're really doing is that the name is all that we know about a person. Every possible thing that we know. So in Jesus' case, it's two things. It's all that he is. It's all that is true about him. But listen. This so much shapes the content of our prayer and the confidence of our prayer. Listen, this dramatically shapes the content of our prayer and the confidence of our prayer. Because when we pray in Jesus' name, in our understanding of all that he is, do you see that our content and our confidence is limited by how much we know and understand about Jesus? So when we begin to pray, we really do begin to pray just for things that we want or things that we think we need or things that we would like him to give us. And honestly, that's okay. That's totally fine. But it's the infancy side of following Jesus. It's still always shaped first by our desires, but the more we understand Jesus, the more we learn about Jesus, the more we experience Jesus, the more the person of Jesus shapes the content and the confidence of our prayer. Limited understanding leads to limited tapping into who Jesus really is and what he invites us into in prayer, and it leaves us lacking in a pretty established confidence. Let me give you an extreme example. When I was a kid, I was probably in third or fourth grade, and my stepdad would take me to high school basketball games, and we would watch the school system that I was a part of, which was Penfield Schools and down by Battle Creek, and we would go watch these guys play basketball. And when I was in third or fourth grade, right, this is before every athlete in the world is on TV all the time and everything else, right? So it's like high school athletes were almost like on the hero status at times when you were a little kid, right? And so we would go watch these people play basketball, and I loved it, man. I just couldn't get enough, and I'd want to go to every home game they had and everything else. Well, there was a really, really, really dominant basketball school in that time called Kalamazoo Christian. They were just really good all the time, and it was hard. Our school never would beat them when it came tournament time or anything else. Well, one year, I was in third or fourth grade, Kalamazoo Christian had a kid who was 6'10". Okay, I had never seen anybody that was 6'10" at that point in my life, right? I mean, that just felt like, that's like a freak of nature, right? Okay. Well, this game ended, and again, it's a whole different age and a different era and whatever else, kids would actually run on courts after games, and you'd get autographs, and you'd hear that maybe this kid's going to go to this big college, or this kid's going to go play here, whatever. And I still remember after Kalamazoo Christian had beaten Penfield again for another year in the tournament, I remember running down out of the bleachers with this piece of paper, and I was going to go get this kid's autograph. And I made it all the way down to the floor where he was, and when I finally got there, it was just straight up. Right? And I remember kind of tapping, okay, like right here, okay, like I'm doing the barely above the knee tap, right, okay, and this kid just kind of looks, and I remember just how scared I was and overwhelmed I was, and right, listen, the only thing I knew about him was where he went to school and how tall he was. That's it. That's all I knew, okay. I had no confidence in approaching. I had no clarity. I had no certainty. I wasn't even sure how I was going to ask or what I was going to say or how I was going to kind of get this autograph from this guy. This whole experience, I'm freaked out. Well, I go home and I tell my mom about it, who wasn't at the game. And do you know how I approached my mom about it? No filter, unhindered. I'm just blabbing about the entire thing, right? It's a 2-minute interchange, and it takes me 30 minutes to tell her about it, right? Because it gets every layer. It gets every moment. It gets comments about his shoes and what tennis shoes he had and where he went afterwards and how I saw him coming across the court. Because I've got all this assurance with my mom. I know who she is and how she views me and where I'm accepted and how the conversation works and how she views life and the things that she wants for me, right? It's just dramatically different. My understanding of who those people were had enormous impact on the content of conversation and the confidence I had in the conversation. And the same is true with Jesus. The same is true with Jesus. That's why last month we talked about the practices, just ways that we consistently engage with Jesus. And that's why it's so valuable, because we keep learning and experiencing more and more of who Jesus is, and it keeps shaping the prayers. And then the last thing, and maybe this is the game changer. It's been a game changer for me probably for the last decade, honestly. Just enormous shift in perspective and heart condition towards prayer and engaging with Jesus. Simply this, that the name is, it is the person, and it's what we know about the person, but it's also the person, present and active. When Jesus says, pray in my name, what he's saying is, hey, when you pray, I am present. And I am active. I am present and I am active. When you pray in my name, I am present and I am active. Listen, how much would that change the game if you and I understood that when we pray, listen, we're not praying to try and get Jesus' presence, right? Prayer is actually part of experiencing his presence. He's like, look, I'm already there. It's when my girls were young, they would climb on a couch or something, and they'd be climbing, and they'd want to be telling me something, and I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but there were a couple times that I can still remember them as 4 or 5-year-olds. I'd be distracted or whatever, and they're trying to tell me something, and they'd end up with both hands on my face, pushing me towards them. Daddy, look at me, okay? Look at me, right? Or them being in pools on vacation or whatever, and they're in the water, and they're watching, and you know what they're saying? See me, see me, see me. Listen. You don't have to pray like that. You don't have to pray like that. You don't have to pray, Jesus, over here, see me, see me. He's like, oh, I know, I've been waiting for you to see me. Like, I've been locked in the whole time. I am present and active, which means this, that when we pray, do you know what's always happening? What Jesus is always up to? If Jesus is present and active every time we pray, then he's always listening. He's always talking. He's always healing. He's always guiding. He's always rebuilding. He's always envisioning. He's always fueling hope. He's always offering compassion. He's always offering boldness. If Jesus is present and active, if that's part of what Jesus meant, then I'm present and I'm active when you pray in my name. How much would that change the game? How much, listen, just for those of you who are really functional, just think about how much time in your prayer life that would save if you didn't have to spend 30 minutes trying to convince Jesus to hear you. It's like, no, man, I'm gonna pray in my name, just with the awareness that I'm already present and I'm already active. And see, what begins to happen is that because of Jesus' presence and his activity and our ongoing understanding of really who he is and what he's up to, he really does start to shape our prayers. Our prayers become what he's already praying, what he's already thinking about, what his heart is already longing for. So just imagine it for a week. Just what would happen for a week? Just your own life. Just imagine your own life for a minute. What would happen? What would happen if just periodically in the next week, you didn't worry so much about, did I finish my prayer just right? Did I say in Jesus' name just right? You didn't measure it like, oh, man, we prayed for dinner and you didn't say in Jesus' name, it doesn't count. Okay? What if it wasn't that? Just for a week, okay, just if that's like a big deal, do you go back to it a week from now? But if, like, just for a week, what if our prayers were built on Jesus' name? What if our prayers started with thanks and celebration of who he already is? What if our prayers started with an awareness and an amazement and a gratefulness for his presence and activity in our life already? What if our prayers started with an awareness that, wait, Jesus is already present and active. What's he thinking about? What's he doing? Maybe I'll go that direction first. Maybe praying in his name is already praying in line with what he's already doing. So what if just for a week, we didn't start with all the things that we think they need. Listen, they're all valuable. We didn't start with all the things that we thought we needed to say to get Jesus' attention, because we already have it. What if just for a week you just experimented and say, I'm going to start with just a celebration that, man, these are some of the things I already know I love about Jesus. And Jesus, I'm just so grateful that you're already present and you're already active. And I may not remember to say in Jesus' name at the end, but I've actually already prayed in your name because I've prayed aware of your presence and I've prayed aware of who you are and what you've already done and what you've already accomplished. Well, see, what if it was never meant to be? What if it was never meant to be like a closing statement? What if in Jesus' name was never meant to be like a closing magic phrase? What if it was supposed to be the foundation that all of our prayers walked on? To Jesus saying, look, just pray in my name. Aware of who I am, this growing understanding of who I am, and constantly aware of my presence and my activity. Here's what I'd love for you to do. that connection card that was in your handout when you came in, will you just take that out for a second? I want to ask you one question on that, okay? Just take that out, and if you didn't finish filling it out, you can now. But just take that out. I want to ask you one question. There's always a spot on there where we're saying, hey, what are you praying about right now? What are you celebrating right now? And see, I don't want to diminish the needs. Some of us are sitting right in the middle of great need, great trauma, great crisis, great desperation. But I wonder if somewhere in there, maybe in a word or maybe in a sentence under what you're praying about, maybe you'll just write, hey, this is what I'm praying this week. This is what I'm praying this week. Aware of who Jesus is and aware that he's already with me and active. He's already with me and active. He's already with me and active. This is the thing I'm praying. Because we'll be praying that with you. We need to pray that together.